Shalom and greetings to you from the Great Northwest. This is Stephaniah Eber from YahvahYahweh.name. And I thank you very much for your participation in this program, in listening to the MP3 files and your downloads. It's a real privilege to bring this word to you today from Malachi chapter 2. Then we'll go back into that fearing Yahweh once again, Malachi 4, 2, and so on. I believe we did that one earlier. We'll be talking about whether one should join some other kind of assembly, a non-messianic, non-Hebraic assembly or not, like, for example, a Church of God Seventh Day or Seventh Day Adventists. And I'm not going to go into, as far as I know, I'm not going to go into real deep detail on that. I'll talk about the health of my wife, Penny, here in the year 2011, that she's struggling in her very last days, having succumbed to cancer, not doing the discipline and everything that was required. It's a tough thing to do, but we all choose different paths. So it looks like that's probably what's going to happen. Hundreds of people have been praying for her, but sooner or later we gotta go. She's 58, and she's been my loved one now for practically 42 years. Malachi chapter 2, verse 8. You are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the Torah. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith Yahweh of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people. According as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the Torah. Verse 10 continues, have we not all one Father? Has not one mighty one, one Yahweh, created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Yehuda has dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Yisrael and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the pureness of Yahweh, which he loved, and has married the daughter of a strange Elohim. Yahweh will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto Yahweh of hosts. Again, this have you done again, covering the altar of Yahweh with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore? Because Yahweh has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion. She is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. So many are in their ninth and tenth marriages in the Christian churches. Did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one? That he might seek a goodly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith Yahweh of hosts or armies. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. See also Jeremiah 3:1. You have wearied Yahweh with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of Yahweh, and he delighteth in them. Or where is the mighty one of judgment? And that is from the second chapter of Malachi. Then from the next chapter, chapter 3, I am going to be reading to you today on this wonderful day. We've just passed the Feast of Tabernacles, and what a wonderful report I could give you on that. Not so much from the preaching, but from the men and women ministering there at the Feast of Tabernacles, ministering to one another, and having great reports, saying great things, and teaching one another, and lifting one another up there at the Hebrew Nation's KPJC Radio Feast of Tabernacles east of Salem or Shalom, Oregon. And wasn't expensive. It wasn't, they are asking, I think, for $50 per person. We gave much more than that. And certainly enjoyed the rich, spirit-filled, the Ruach Fellowship. I could say a lot more. I guess I could lead into that after a bit. Yeah. You want to hear the scriptures. You'd rather hear that than some missionary report of how I got together with this and that person and had a great time and in the dining hall there, how wonderful the food was. What Jewish bondage it was to get in that line and have to eat all that wonderful food and then rest, all that rest that I didn't have to be responsible for my bills or working during that whole week. Oh, it was certainly, as the Protestants charge us, bondage. I was under the law by keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. No. I certainly enjoyed it, as I hope that you did. I think hearing the reports on the Elia.com and different Church of God, the Eternal Sovereign God, and so on, Eternal. I just said that, but everybody seemed to have had a great Feast of Tabernacles. We have prayer requests. We lift up Brother Chester Terrell in Eugene, Oregon, who reports colon problems there. Boy, he's watched his diet very, very closely. So I don't know. We just need to, be totally disciplined about our diets, don't we? And do, drink all that water, all 8 glasses of water a day. Cleanse ourselves every day. We need to abstain from all poisonous foods. That's right. And then pray for my wife, Penny Weber, or Eber, as we call ourselves here on the internet, because that's Grandpa Eber's name in Genesis 9, or anyway, Sons of Noah, 9 or 10 there. I can never remember, so one or the other. We'll pray for her, and I think we have some other prayer requests, too. Hezekiah is out traveling and doing a traveling ministry. He has JewsForYeshua.com, and he's the round table speaker on KPJC weekday mornings on the second day of the week, the M day, at 9, I don't know, 9 or is it 10? I don't know. Okay, chapter 3. I've held you up with announcements there, I guess, usually from the pulpit. They like to bore people and put them to sleep from the announcements, but that's not my intention. I think that's kind of silly. Chapter 3 of Malachi, which is the last book of the scriptures, going into Matthew chapter 1. So there, there's a little bit of a gap there, but there should be a continuity that we realize as we read Yahweh's word that it's the same. It harmonizes, it's consistent, and of course he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it says in Hebrews 13. James, behold, I change not, the father of lights, and then in another place, I think Exodus talks about being consistent, that he, behold, he does not change. We see here in Malachi in a moment. Okay, verse 1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and Yahweh, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahweh of hosts. Yahweh of hosts, or armies. Yes, even he shall come. I don't know if he is speaking of Yochanan the immerser here. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto Yahweh an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Yehuda and Jerusalem be pleasant unto Yahweh, as in the days of old, and as in former years. Continuing verse 5 of Malachi 3. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers. Those who are using the drugs, the pharmakia, those products there and over the counter at the pharmacies. Sorcery. And against the adulterers, those who have been married multiple times. without any scriptural grounds, Deuteronomy 22. I found her not a virgin. And against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages. Oh, you talk about inflation. The widow, and the fatherless, and they that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith Yahweh of hosts. Thinking about the widow there, and the fatherless, the orphan, that, you know, how many of them, of believers, starting with believers in your own family, how many do we actually support with our second and our third tithe once every 7 years? The tenth every 7 years, the tenth of our income. Well, I don't see a lot of that help going on, a lot of that financial help going to orphans. They say, well, preachers will tell you, well, it's just paid through your taxes, so you don't have to, we don't have to do it here at our church or assembly or synagogue. We don't have to take that money out to give to orphans. It's already done for us by the state. And they don't see that as the state taking over our business at all. But I don't want to, you know, let the state manage that. Let's get back into the blessing business. Bless those out there. Forget about the taxes. I paid them, you know, but give unto Caesar what as whatever, unto Caesar. Even from the days of your youth. Verse 6, for I, Yahweh, he says, I change not. Okay, there it is. There's looking for that a moment ago, wasn't I? As in James 1:17. For I, Yahweh, I change not. So does he have one law and then a different law for other people? He has one for the Jews, one for the Gentiles. Does he have all different kinds of confusing standards, opposing standards? First it's okay, or rather it's first it's not okay, it's an abomination to eat pork. Then after that it's okay for a Christian to eat pork. It's no. He calls it an abomination. He calls being in the sexual immorality, he calls that an abomination for two men or two women in an unnatural way. And that was an abomination. So, can that now be all right too? After all, the Christians have said that it's okay to eat pork, so then it must be okay for two men and or two women to be together. That's wrong. The Scripture can attest to that. See Romans 1 near the end of that chapter. See the whole Scripture all the way. See the law. See where it says there, even in the Torah, that a man with lying with a man is wrong. It says that specifically. Where? Leviticus, I think, or Vayikra in Hebrew. Leviticus. So, I change not. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahweh of armies. But you said, wherein shall we return? Where shall we return? Will a man rob Yahweh? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And, well, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that you may be, there may be meat in my house, and prove me now. Hear what saith Yahweh of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be a room enough to receive it. You won't even have enough, well, so should we give a, you know, just generously, just give with all of our might, give tithes and offerings and finances, expecting that the windows of heaven are going to open and that we won't have room enough to store all the financial blessings, all the money. No, I think that would be working at it backwards. Let's forget about the return, the rate of return. If that's all we're thinking about, then our heart's in the wrong place and it's, I don't think we're going to get that blessing. Oh, we might. That seems to work for some people out there. Some of those prosperity internet, TV, PTL, and whatever that 700 Club and so on. Prosperity, and that wasn't throughout the 700. I realize that, but there never was anything there to begin with that anything that hungered me on that 700 Club. But I didn't watch it all the time. What do I know? And I will rebuild the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith Yahweh of hosts. So you're just going to be blessed in the in the field, blessed with your fruits, blessed with the cattle, if you obey him. And if our hearts are set on obeying and not expecting to be remunerated by the Almighty Yahweh, oh, bless me back, I've been giving, I've been so generous, Yahweh, you have to pay me back now. Payback time, come on, Yahweh. Well, that's just the wrong attitude. That's a selfish attitude, and maybe he just won't do it. You know, right now I don't know anybody who is where that concept works, that you can just give to a ministry and then receive tenfold in remuneration. Verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Yahweh of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith Yahweh, stout. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Well, you have said, it is vain to serve Yahweh. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before Yahweh of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they tempt Yahweh are even delivered. And then they had the, in 1984 and prior to that, the late great planet Earth, and everybody thought that they were going to be whipped out of the, you know, raptured. And then when it didn't happen, with Hal Lindsey's book, in that concept, Israel being a, quote, nation, which I would question that definition there, in 1948 to 1988, if it didn't happen then, and it didn't, well, if Yahweh didn't come back then I guess I'm just going to go back to being my own worldly self, you know, just my own self, self. Well, that's the way it was. We just became proud, arrogant, and yeah, we become overly blessed. We become spoiled. I can see that a lot around that Eugene, Oregon area there, where people are in their glass palaces, traveling in their wonderful vehicles over clear, newly painted lines on the highway to their place of work there, to the utopian environment, to the shopping mall. And, you know, everything is just this wonderful utopia for them. But all it is just money, especially the problems there in the medical profession. Then they that feared Yahweh spoke often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. The names people out there are being ridiculed all the time, but we fear his name and we think about his name. We study it. We don't think that we have, you know, we use the, for the Messiah, we use the word Yahosha with the accent on Yah. That part of his name is very important to us. Yahosha, not Yahosha or Yahosha. Or those who say Shua, which we've studied that out as not being correct, but they'll go Yeshua, 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 Yeshua. You know, the accent is on the Shua, on that swine, that second syllable. But, you know, why? Even if that were correct, why wouldn't it be on Yahshua, Yahshua, to emphasize the Creator, or, yeah, the Creator's name in the Messiah's name, or in our name, or anybody's name, as in Stefan Yah, as in Sylvia, Czechoslovakia Yah. There's a lot of names that end in I-A that should be Y-A-H. I know I'm getting off the track. No, I'm not really getting off the track. I'm talking about his name, so I guess I get away with that anyway. Oh, here's one of my favorite little verses that Pastor Bill Houston on this internet site, and, you know, many of us enjoy this verse, Malachi 4:17. Yahweh says, many that feared the Yahweh and thought upon his name, and they that shall be mine. And they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Yahweh and him that serveth him not. So is that judging, that we should discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Yahweh and him that serves him not? Is it okay to judge? John 7:24 says, judge righteous judgment. Judge righteous judgment all the time. The word is consistent. Sometimes it seems to say, we'll pick out a particular scripture that says that it's wrong to judge judge not that you be judged. I think it was John 7, but if you go to down there to verse 24, and you see that we're supposed to judge, righteous judgment is what he really did mean, and that we're supposed to put those out of the assembly that are compromising the word, and so on and so on. So that was, to me, that's a wonderful verse there, that part there in verse 17 of Malachi chapter 3. When I make up my jewels, and when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son. That's right. I love that. And then the next verse in chapter 4, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud and all they that do wickedly shall be stubble. And we've read this before here, chapter 4. It ends in, you know, for us who are rebellious and disobedient, ends in utter destruction. So we don't want to do that. Oh, we're supposed to go to the next verse anyway. Okay, when we talk about fearing Yahweh, we've been on that subject a little bit about fearing Him. So Malachi 4:2 is the next verse. So we'll continue on then where we left off. And all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yahweh of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, not supposed to do that, the Protestants say. Don't fear his name, but you know, we care about it. Those that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. So we need to fear Yahweh and fear his name. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes unto the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith Yahweh of hosts. Just before the New Testament it says, remember you the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto you in Horeb, or unto him in Horeb, for all Yisrael, the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Eliah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. Or it says in the King James and modern versions, day of the Lord. We don't use Lord here because Baal means Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse or utter destruction. Obviously another one of my favorites there. We could go to Isaiah 44, but we're accused of not going to the Brit Kaddishah, the New Testament, for not using Scripture. So Matthew chapter 10, 26. Do you remember that we read this earlier at another broadcast? 10:26 of Matt. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, Messiah, Yahusha says, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops. Fear not them which murder the body, but are not able to murder the spirit, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and spirit in hell, or Gehenna, I think it would be there. I changed those words when it said spirit, or rather when it said soul, I changed that. They're not able to kill our body or our soul. Sometimes soul means body, and in this case it did, so I changed that and interpolated, or if that's okay. Oh, and to verse 31, and are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father knowing. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess unto him before my Father, which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, and so on. There in Matthew 10, back to Isaiah. Yeshayahu 44, and probably verse 8 there mainly. Yes, we're really, really grieving about the imminent passing away here of my wife. Really grieving, and we tried so much, but she gave up long ago on the program there. But there's still a chance. You see, I think that's my message about the health situation, the medical deal, is that it's never too late until it's just until you're dead. You're never dead until you're dead. You always have the opportunity to be healed by Yah and rise up, or be healed by the natural healing ability He has put in your body by drinking of the waters, the beautiful waters that Yahweh created. Hitting the mic stand with my scriptures there. And, I could pound in the pulpit. Here, I have a little water myself. Good. I'll just right there. I'll probably live a day longer in this earth for those two swallows. We're talking about the sparrows, though, huh? And Isaiah 44, before I meander too far off of our trail today. Boy, that feast was so good, though. It was so good. This is night. Nighttime now. I'm not too well inspired like I do get in the morning when I start, all the ideas start. And, you're doing your exercises, getting ready for the day. But thinking of that feast, I think it'll linger a long time in my mind and my heart. About the Feast of Tabernacles 2011. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I enjoyed the fellowship. Thank you very much. Thank you to Randy there. I appreciate his ministry to me, his personal ministry in the tabernacle there at the feast. Chapter 44, verse 8, fear you not, therefore, or rather, neither be afraid. Fear not, therefore, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there a mighty one beside me? Yes, there is no mighty one. I know not any. They that make a graven image, all of them are vanity. And then it talks about the tree that they put up in worship in verse 15 there. In Isaiah 44. And it's just the whole book of Isaiah, like 44:6. Thus saith Yahweh, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. And beside me there is no Yahweh. There's no Elohim. So the Aleph and the Tav. Then we'll go to Ephesians 5:21. And one message that was taught there at the Feast of Tabernacles was the Paleo-Hebrew. And the man went through very quickly. I couldn't understand a thing about it except, that I got out of the message that the Paleo-Hebrew, the pictograph, the picture words, prove that this word, the scriptures, was written far before Egyptian Babylonian mystery time there, before they were in Egypt. It was written way before that. It was written in the beginning, just like it says. Genesis by Moses, inspired by the Ruach HaKadosh. Ephesians 5:21 does say this. Oh, I'm not there. I'm in Hebrews for some reason. But and before my mind wanders, or my submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of Yahweh. Submit yourselves one to another. And it talks about wives, submit to your own husbands unto Yahweh. And then verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Messiah also loved the assembly and gave himself for it. But if you turn this around, if you turn parts of Ephesians 5 around, it would come up with a Protestant idea that there should only be a 50-50 relationship in marriages, and that the wife and the husband should both have equal authority. And then it turns out that the wife will ultimately have 90% authority and the husband maybe 10. So they just love to turn that around. And I think I had a teaching, a quick word about that, but right now it's not visible. Let's see here. Is it here? Oh, I don't know. We could come back to the subject later if that's important. But they turn that around, that husbands should submit to their wives, and that as Yahweh submits to the assembly. That was basically it. That it would seem that they're saying that husbands, love and submit to your wives as Yahweh submits to the assembly. Come on now, Yahweh is not going to submit to his assembly. We will submit to him, or he can't bless us. And the wife should, you know, according to the word, submit to the husband, or she can't really be blessed. You know, we have a dysfunctional family. Yes, we do. So, going to the next scripture verse now of love in the Word. This is all about love. I know some people say this is hate speech we're doing. 1 Peter 2:17. So let's have a little more hate scriptures here. To love one another as Yahweh loves us. I like that kind of hate speech. 1 Peter 2:17. So you see, I'm only scoffing at the theory that it's not hate speech at all. It says here in 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, honor the king. And then in Proverbs 24:21, which I'm only using one hand here to hold the microphone and the other the scripture. So Proverbs 24:21, if somebody would read that or write it down and do it later. Revelation 14:7. I'm sure Proverbs would have been a really good scripture too, because they're all good. I want to play a little portion of a preacher who had some statements there about the Torah. To obey Yahweh, but not his law. But how could you obey him without his law? But Brother Phil is going to come here in a minute, or two or three, and talk about that. Or sometime during the broadcast. We're already 30 minutes into the broadcast. So we're halfway through, I guess. Thanks for joining us again. Email address is Stefan Yah, with a T, at yahweh.name. So first, Revelation 14, there's only Revelation 14:7 does say, I'm struggling here, I'm doing the best, saying with a loud voice, fear Yahweh, and give esteem to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and praise him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. And there followed another messenger saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Sorry about that, huh? People have their Sabbaths today with their man-made rules that supersede Yahweh's word. They have their ludicrous date setting of May 2011. Thank you, Harold Camping, for bringing down the bar of the believers, of Christians, of people who believe in the Word. I think he actually has some kind of a dementia. He's just getting old. And then he set October 2011 as being the second coming of Yahweh, and it came and went, but Yahweh didn't come. Literally in the clouds to rescue his, to bring his saints in the clouds. As it's not rescue, I'm not talking about rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4 and so on. No, that didn't happen yet. First the dead and Messiah shall rise, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds together with him and there remain with him forever. I always kind of misquote that last part. Maybe I could. We find that there. 1 Thessalonians. It'd be nice to have a stand here to put the scripture on, but I'm using it. I'm using the stand for the mic here on Yahweh. It. No, that's Timothy. It'll. Turn right or left here or something. 1 Thessalonians 4. For Yahweh himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the arch messenger, and with the trump of Yahweh. We celebrated the Feast of Trumpets there a month ago. We just had the new moon here, the eighth new moon. And the dead and Messiah shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet Yahweh in the air. And so shall we ever be with Yahweh. So that's how that goes. So shall we ever be with Yahweh forever and ever. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Oh, isn't that wonderful? That goes with 1 Corinthians 15:52. It goes with Revelation 1:7, which I can't even remember what that is. Let's see here. Do that one. Okay. 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, Hallel-Yahweh. I'm not going to do the amen there. So down with man-made traditions and rules, down with the state taking precedence over Yahweh's word and Yahweh's ways, Yahweh's culture, Yahweh's commands, the halakha, the walk of a believer that Yahweh has given for us, the feast days, staying away from unclean meats and not eating any of them in any situation, using his name, spelling it correctly as he gives us, the tetragrammaton, YHVH, is Yahweh. Somebody might ask, well, how do you pronounce that? How do you pronounce YHVH? Do you put the accent on the first or the last syllable? I don't know if it'd matter. Yahweh or Yahweh? Yeah, Yahweh. With the accent on the first syllable seems better. But I would also think that in the Messiah's name, Yahushua, that the accent would be on the first syllable there because it emphasizes the Yah, the prefix of that name, Yahushua. Or Yahushua, if you will. Both are legitimate. And then there are those believers or false brethren who say that hell, those who are condemned, is just separation from Yahweh. Well, what would that turn out to be then? Where would these people all be separated from Yahweh? How would that life be any different than from what we are experiencing right now on the earth? And where would all these people live if they weren't condemned to Tartarus or to Gehenna? And it's not the Jerusalem garbage dump, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't think I'd want to even go to the Jerusalem garbage dump and tread the coals with no proper footwear on there. That seems like that'd be the wrong place to be, in the middle of the Jerusalem garbage dump, if there is such a burning place as there was 2,000 years ago. But that's one of the excuses that the Seventh-day Church of God gave us, that it's just the Jerusalem garbage dump. That's what Gehenna means. The old dump of 2,000 years ago, and now the fires have gone out and nobody burns that much rubbish anymore there or something. Well, that's one of the reasons I wouldn't attend a Church of God Seventh Day necessarily, or a Seventh Day Church of God, when the subject comes up of, we need to be separate. We need to be separate from the world and from false religions and so on. So Stay away from compromise as much as possible. Occasionally, we might attend another assembly that we know that there is compromise in there, but we're not going to support them. We're not going to inhale or take in their doctrines or to a way of compromise to her in some way or another. Sooner or later, we're going to give in to all of the wishy-washy stuff going on in their assembly. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend attending a Church of God Seventh Day or Pentecostal Church of God Seventh Day necessarily. There, it would depend upon which one it was, what kind of people were in charge, if they really had Yahweh's mind and so on in as a first priority. If they were very modern and wishy-washy and the main thing was convenience and getting ahead, having success financially and so on, then I would say don't attend there. But if Yahweh's commandments, statutes, and judgments are not forbidden at that assembly, and if they're preaching it, if they're promoting Yahweh's commandments and his Torah, then that might be another story. But they're still using the wrong name for that assembly, the G-O-D there, which is a pagan Elohim. So we're trying to switch gears here and go into a different subject, I think. Then if that's true about Church of God Seventh Day, that we should be cautious, why do we play Bill Houston with the Higher Ground program on this internet site? Because nobody else can say it like Bill can say it. And that goes for some other preachers as well. Bill is very eloquent on the 12 programs we do have listed here on the internet under Higher Ground, the old-fashioned preachers, Bill Houston. I do recommend it, but I didn't censor all of his compromising words that he said, knowing that you could probably interpolate and change them. If he said the G-O-D word, you can, you know what word belongs in there. But it's the spirit of what he said and the way he said it, with the intent that he said it, and the decisiveness and the depth of what he said, I think, you know, we could certainly learn and absorb that of what Mr. Houston says. I think Mr. Houston is probably still around somewhere in Canada and Hope, British Columbia. And we lift up his family up there in British Columbia. Praise Yahweh for the teaching that he did have. Now I say we have 12 programs. He had 80. I have 80 programs of Pastor Bill, but I didn't feel comfortable in putting the others on. There was compromise, definite speaking against the law in some of the programs. So I'm not encouraging you to go out and just attend and join a Church of God Seventh Day. Or some Adventists might be better than others, you know, Adventist churches, but I wouldn't encourage you to just go out and join one. You're supporting the idea of 1844, the idea that the Messiah was supposed to have come back in 1844. Then when he didn't, the promoter, the originator of that idea, changed their mind and said that Yahweh made a mistake and his hand was in the way of the mistake. And, you know, so if you perpetrate different falsities like that, then you're, you know, it's just not being sincere. It's not being true and sincere. So we respect the idea that some of these religions, that they attend church for long hours and that they're very zealous and sincere in their belief. They might go to assembly from 8 a.m. until 5 in the afternoon. Some of the Sunday churches do that. Sabbath-keeping churches typically have 2 or 3 hour long get-togethers, including possibly the oneg or the getting together for some food. So that's commendable, but that doesn't condone their false doctrine that they might have there. They might be speaking against the feast days. They might say that it's okay sometimes to eat unclean meats in certain situations. And then they'll turn around and make the pastor's son the next pastor, and then he's just given the job because of financial considerations, even though he's not really that qualified. He's changing. He's getting too modern. He's compromising Yahweh's word. So I'm not going to support an assembly or attend it. You know, I might go in there once for part of a message or all of it. But Bill Houston is preaching effectively here on Yahweh Yahweh. But we have to be more than that. We have to go beyond what Brother Bill says and keep all the word, the commandments, statutes, and judgments. We have to take it seriously. We have to know how to obey, what to obey, how to obey objectively, how to keep Yahweh's word. And we don't just attend the church of our choice. It's Yahweh's choice. And we, furthermore, some would say, well, we don't go to a church anyway. So that's also true. Let's see. So turning to another subject. Masonry, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to get into Masons or the Knights of Columbus or the Daughters of the Nile. It doesn't matter if you're a Mason, they think, because it's harmless. But, you know, you can read so many pamphlets. Go to Giving and Sharing, giveshare.org, and you can find a pamphlet on there that would reveal some of the problems that come with that, some of the compromises. It seems very innocent at first, but when we're so naive, we're vulnerable, you know, just don't get into it. Oh, here is the reverse, well, interpolation of Ephesians 5, husbands, obey your wives, even as Yahusha obeys his assemblies. Right, no, that's a lie. And then some assemblies, those Seventh-day assemblies, say, but we do believe in the Sabbath and in the separated names of Yahweh. We keep the Sabbath, and we don't do this, and we don't do that. And that obedience is good, but what about the culture? What do you really get into when you're in your normal operating mode? What kind of music do you listen to? Carnal, worldly music? Is your heart out there and seeking carnal things and materialism? Or do you denounce materialism, as in those of old, the old-fashioned preachers who would get up on the pulpit and talk against the act or whatever of watching television. In those early days of the 50s, it was quite innocent, but even then that they condemned the watching of television because sooner or later it would lead to compromise. And sure enough, now it has. It's definitely into deep, deep compromise, other than for the sake of maybe one or two videotapes or something, DVDs. There's some pretty good ones, actually. But officially, I've never watched a television show in years and years, or the newscasts. And even though we know what's going on, we have to keep in touch with different Christian watchdog or messianic or Hebraic or news sources to know enough to what's going on in the world. But that's not going to be the main thing in our life. We don't need to know what the sports section says and support the mafia in the newspaper business. But we believe in the separated names. We believe in the Sabbath, and we do keep all of His word, and we believe in Yahweh keeping us in pure and separated in a pure culture. Now, we don't always do these things properly, 100%, but we strive, and our goal is to be 100% Yahweh, 100% obedience to Yahweh's word. If we say, well, I go to Hebrew classes, that doesn't mean that we have done it all. In fact, it may not mean anything, but Hebrew classes are good, I think, even if it's modern. Or I know Greek. Yeah. I've heard that before. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of messengers, but if we have not love, then we're just as a sounding brass and, of course, as a tinkling cymbal on the radio there. About the wearing of the hat and so on, and the kippah and the beard, we could talk about that. Men wear ties. That's very important for a church to have upstanding society, very well-dressed and manicured hairstyles and all that. And they wear that. The men wear the tie with the arrow that points down to what? It points to the pants, to something there, down there, doesn't it? So I'd be for at least cutting off the arrow on that tie. I could still wear it. I've got some beautiful ties. But I always, you know, look at the Jehovah's Witness with a tie coming up to the porch there with a big smile on his face, with a nice, great big tie and kind of a smile on his face like, you devil, you. You know, even though he's not really hoping to portray that image. But in a way, I think a subtle way he is. I just down on ties. I don't know. Some people say, no, you can't prove that they're wrong, but there's just, you know, sometimes I have that, going way back to my childhood, I just feel that something was wrong, and then somebody would try to prove I wasn't, you know. But later on, in years, then you come up with, somewhere or another, there's evidence, and there's proof, there's real proof that such and such was wrong. So I think, you know, there is something to it about the conscience being our guide, although we can't always follow our heart, because the heart is deceitful. It's deceptive and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17. So how are we different from a nominal believer? Yes, we go up and attend assembly as often as we can with all of our heart. We want to hear that real on-fire preacher up there from the pulpit reading the word of Yahweh and making us excited about Yahweh's kingdom, wanting to go on to higher heights, deeper depths in Yahweh, higher heights, and reach out for Yahweh and to do His will and to get it. Encourage one another. Praise Yahweh. Okay, and then a comment about the beards. I just watched a messianic website today, Elia.com, and Elia from Tennessee was down on the beards thing. He thinks that, you know, it's not really necessary. And the attitude there just was, you know, I appreciate so much of his teaching, but it just disgusted me. It discouraged me the way he was going contrary to what the Word says, that the beard is there to show that a man is a man. That's what Yahweh put on the man's face. And then he used the alibi, the pretext there that, well, some Orientals can't grow a very good beard anyway. So you see, so then that makes it ineffective for the rest of us men who can grow one, just because somebody else can't, then that abrogates our responsibility because somebody else can't grow a really good beard. Well, that's the silliest excuse I've ever heard. I hope he shapes up on that silly doctrine of that it's not important for a man to have a beard according to the word. No, look on our website under Black Hats, I think it is, Black Hats and Caps or Beards or something there. And is it Black Cap? Here I can, well, I probably can't find it that quickly. I think you know where to find it, and you already know the truth on it, and that it's not just cutting the corner of the beard. No, that's it's in altering it in any way and touching that beard. And then there was the alibi. Well, it'll grow all the way down to my foot, you know, down to my belly button, and it'll get in my wife's way when she's sleeping on my beard. And then I'll get caught at night trying to pull my head away. Well, I've never had that problem of my beard growing that long. Maybe somebody does. You see some pretty long ones, don't you? But I don't think that would be an alibi, a legitimate excuse to not obey the Torah and not make any cuttings in your beard, according to the literal interpretation of that scripture. Where is it? Leviticus 19 or something. I'm not really, that's not the focus of this program today, but down on that Laodicean lukewarm attitude about that it's really not necessary to do this or that or to speak in tongues. It's not necessary to be immersed. You see them out there swimming in the summer. They love to swim, but doggone, they won't be immersed. They just, say, well, that's works. That's works. I'm not saved by works, so I'm not going to be immersed or whatever you want to call it. And then on the hats, I believe that a Hebrew-type hat for men is proper. Maybe for everybody, but that's for those of us who consider ourselves king's kids or kings, that we are kings and priests in Yahweh's service. So although it's not a sin to not wear a hat, it certainly would be a good gesture. And I've got mine on now. I don't wear it to bed or in the shower or while riding horseback or on a motorcycle or down the ski slopes at the wonderful ski resorts there, Mount Hood and so on, in Northwest America. But I do, I might wear it. I might forget to take it off, and then I'd lose it, you see, if I were out skiing. Messiah's name is very, very important, so we need to hang on to that. And if we don't know the truth of Messiah's name, let us study that and make that top priority, not the bottom. And someday I'll look it up. We need to keep studying about Yahweh's name. Some good articles here on my website on the YahwehYahweh.name, as well as many other sites out there that talk about Yahweh's name. We have the 26 proofs that it's Yahweh, not Yahweh. So, 52 minutes into the broadcast, if you're wondering. So we got eight more. Oh, and to be immersed is not, Elia proved this once on Elia.com, that it's not mikveh, but it's kabal, to dip. And there's other Hebrew words, but it's not mikveh. It just means to pool making a garment, a sweater or something. Or rakats, R-A-C-H-A-T-S. Or kabas, K-A-W-B-A-S, and so on. That's not real, real important to know that, especially if you're a new believer. So I think we're about done here. Oh, avoid Christian rock, that is worldly and carnal, that carnal beat there. I hear a lot of Hebraic messianic music that I just cannot, or New Age or something, I just can't go along with that. I'm sorry, it just grates against my spirit. I was a rock and roll disc jockey. I could play all the top 40 and so on, and back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and even in the 90s, I suppose, did a little bit of that. Doing some doo-wop now, I think. Maybe get into that, but it's not, some of it could be really bad. Be careful, stay away from that stuff. I don't recommend it, but if I have to do it to survive, I might play a little bit of oldies from the, but even though I do it, it doesn't mean that it's okay. It may be wrong. It may be sin. I may be, in judgment for doing the oldies from the 1950s, 60s, and early 70s, and back in the 40s. There was good music and there's bad, even if it's classical. Okay, what's a final comment or two here about the stay away from pagan feast days, pagan feasts, the pagan names. And don't worry about being a big legalist. You know, when people accuse you of that. Oh, about the health problem. I think that'd be the most important thing to pray about. And also I have some notes here. I'm not going to turn to them maybe, but Jeremiah 18:8 about abomination, I think. Jeremiah 12:17 and 31:31, the covenant. I can do 18:8, but anyway, we lift up Penny Weber in her last days here on earth. I think she's still abiding in there at this moment anyway. The broadcast on the about the 30th here of the month, 10th month of 2011. I lift up my wife, Penny. Pray for her salvation if she has any sins that she has committed, and that they might be pardoned by the name of Yahusha HaMashiach, by the blood of Messiah. Wash away Penny's sins and take away her iniquity. Heavenly Father, through your Messiah, Yahusha, your Son and our Savior. We talked about the discipline problem, so we can't really pray, Yahweh, just heal her and make her whole, because she might just go right back to poisoning herself with that genetically modified food and the sugars, the bag of sugar and so on, and cause the tumors to grow again. But may your will be done. May the chips fall where they may. If I could say that, as it were, we just lift her up, and I love her. And I think that you love her. And it's been a wonderful life, wonderful years and years of marriage, and some bad spots where we could have done a whole lot better, and we didn't. We lost our daughter, I think, there to the world. She could come back, but that could be 20 or 30 years from now. Penny will never know about that until we see Yahweh face to face in the kingdom to come. Just reflecting back on that, I can't fathom. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the feast, the next feast, Passover. I'm looking forward to 2012 Passover, keeping it with my brethren, being encouraged by them. I love you, Penny. That is dedicated to you and your memory. And she said, always remember, no matter what, that I love you. So even though she... we won't talk about that. Jeremiah 18:8. With a tear in all of our eyes today. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, well, you know the rest of the story on that. That was from Jeremiah 18. Yeah, it's too bad. Tragedy there. It's tragedy how we fall into traps. Oh, we think we're doing the right thing, and we think that we're, going to put a Band-Aid on the problem. And we wind up making it all the worse, and working 24/7, knocking ourselves out. For what? For the corporate, putting on the plastic smile, the plastic uniform, and going to work. Everything is plastic, our relationships. Nothing is genuine when it's like that. Oh, and I didn't play the part about the guy who said that we should obey Yahweh, but not his Torah. Well, that'll be another time. We don't want to do that and spoil the spirit of this. Live up Hezekiah Haas out there, traveling. Heavenly Father, we pray that your hand would be on Hezekiah as he and Abigail... loved ones. I don't agree with them. Maybe 20 or 30% of the prop that I don't agree, but he does a lot of the teaches against the clean and unclean. He teaches for the feast days, against the pagan holidays, and so on and so on and so on. He does say that these different pagan names are wrong. He does use some of those, but just lift him up in his ministry, and may you help him along and change his spirit, his mind, if there's an error there in any way, and his understanding. And lift up Hezekiah Haas today in the family. And then we also lift up Apostle Terrell there on the internet, on his ourchurch.com or something, that he's underneath an umbrella like that. Kind of hard to find the website, I guess, but he's been my pastor now for unofficially for 20 years, but suffering there in the hospital. And I know that you can just lift him up. What I was going to say about that, even if your dying breath, you're on your deathbed, and you determine, yeah, we're going over an hour right now for a minute or two, but you determine that you're going to get up off that deathbed, you're going to drink that water, you're going to put away the poison, you're going to put away the stupid drugs, that addiction, some of those Ativan, and so on. You just need to avoid these psychic, mind-altering drugs that these hippies with the suits on and the dresses are pushing on us today from the hospitals. But anyway, we lift up Brother Terrell in the name of Yahusha HaMashiach. Refrain from those pharmakia, those evil drugs out there. I know that the medical profession wouldn't be happy with me for having said that, but that's their problem, like it's said there. It is a problem. It's a really big, big problem, and they're pushing this stuff out there. The lorazepam and the clonopin or clonathan and so on, some of those mind-altering. Look at the BrianCall.org and their latest, their October issue from 2011 of the Brian Call. And somewhere in the back pages, they're selling a book there, $16, I guess, a little bit, but it's going to be talking about those drugs. I ordered it. I don't order anything else, but I have to have that one to see exactly what Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon and Deidre Bobgan and so on, what the Bobgans are, what their research and what they encourage us and how to get off those drugs, how to get unhooked if you're already hooked on the oxymoron? No. Oxycodone. And on and on, the drug names and so on. If you're hooked on that stuff, they have ways to get off. In fact, I called a friend here across town, and she told me how to do it. And so far, it's working there for Penny. She was writhing away in bed and trembling and looking like she's cold. But I could tell that's a drug addiction that she's doing, that she's responding from overdose after 2 years of taking these drugs that are supposed to take care of our anxiety. Well, it says, be anxious for nothing in Scripture, but by prayer and supplication, make our request be known unto Yahweh. Think of the blessed hope that if I die, well, so what? So I'm going to be in His presence. Maybe not tomorrow, but when the great trumpet is blown, and that probably is, in 20 or 30 years. If not, I won't care. It won't matter if I'm dead anyway. I'll be sleeping in the grave. It's just sleep. It's not as if this person is completely gone. If Penny dies, her memory will still be here, but not her presence. Her spirit won't be around or anything. She won't be up in heaven dancing up there. I hope not, anyway. Not without me, but no. But it's just as if she were asleep. She didn't disappear. It's like she went around the corner and disappeared. She disappeared that way, but not in... someday we'll see each other again. I'll see Mom and Dad, probably. And Grandma and Grandpa and Grandpa Eber. And all those people. Abraham mentioned there in the book. You could read the whole list there. And the Genesis reference, 9 or 10 there. All we have to do is just refrain from the bad stuff, from the poison. Try to get some of that junk, those potato chips and the soft drinks and the dairy products, if you will. If you would, the most of the meats there, maybe some meat is okay. I know Elia thinks that it's okay, but I think we need to cut it down. Even if you're growing your own, cut it down as much as possible. Yes, really. So what I saw was this Marcia said, go ahead and prepare your wife some of that celery juice. And so I put a little celery and the apple. That was very important, I thought, to water it down with apple juice. So I put the apples down in the juicer, and the celery and the carrots. Lots of carrots in there, two or three of them. And then I chopped up the celery so it wouldn't wind around the drill, the spindle in there, and made it. And I drank a bunch of that, a cup or so. And then I was able, by a eyedropper, to give my wife about a half a cup or so. And you know what? It's been hours now. And they'd say, dope her up. Give her the stuff. Give her that garbage, that medicine, so-called, those drugs, in other words. get her all doped up, and yes, yeah, but then she'll have repercussions. That phenomenon will come back, that addiction, that phenomenon where they're trembling, they look like they're too cold, they get off into a drunken stupor, or a drug stupor, if you would, and they'll pick up stuff and start eating, about broke it. I want to break that little tape box there, or a comb, or a knife, or anything. They'll stick it in their mouth. And I think that that partly could be caused by the drugs. I understand they think it's the brain tumors, and it could be, some of it. But I think it's more, I'm seeing addiction now after 2 years. I was ignoring that. I was blind. But then when I saw her that last day when she went into this crisis because she wasn't following all of their guidelines about keeping the drugs, that she was manifesting this, what I clearly remember in many, many instances, observing people in the sanatoriums or terriums or whatever, in hospitals and so on, as being an addictive thing, addictive to cigarettes or some other substance that's, easily to abuse, alcohol. And so anyway, the exciting thing about this is so far, I don't hear her screaming for help or, screaming, saying that she is in pain. And all I did was give her some carrot, the apple, and the celery that I cut up in real short lengths. And then we drank it quickly. We didn't just let it sit on the shelf overnight. You know, you could do that if you have to. It's better than store-bought and cans and bottles, but you can do it. But best to drink it within 2.5 minutes. drday.com, Dr. Day, as opposed to Knight. It's different than the Knight. She's a beautiful woman in her 70s, and she overcame that. That's been confirmed. She was an Adventist, in fact, a Seventh-day Adventist woman, beautiful Dr. Lorraine Day, D-A-Y. And George Malcomus, Hallelujah Acres, and so on. There's so many websites. You know a lot more than I do, probably. But I'm just testifying that Yahweh has given us a wonderful healing, the self-healing body, and we sure enough need to observe his rules for right discipline, staying in shape, doing the exercise, lay on the floor, do some push-ups, sit-ups, some leg bends and so on, or whatever you... What is your thing? Going out for a little walk down the street, down Hollywood Boulevard and Vine, or wherever you might be. Getting the sunshine and the fresh air. Keeping the windows open some. Don't just, like in a hospital, close all the windows. Those air conditioners are not cleaning that room. I can smell bowel and so on forever in there. So that air is not being replaced in the hospitals. So let's just get right with Yahweh and trust in Him. And it can be done. It can. It's really a shame, a tragedy that it cannot be accomplished here in this particular case and many others. But sometimes, no matter what you do, you're going to fall through the cracks anyway. Richard Nichols of GiveShare.com. I'm sure he was very, very compliant with Yahweh's food laws and so forth, and ate good, and he even had used a Turkish towel to dry off with. He recommended using that for some reason, that it stirs up the circulation in your flesh. And so I just get my whatever towel, cheapo towel or something. No, I have some pretty nice ones there that we got somewhere or another. And just really give it the old 1-2 there. And 1-2, 1-2. And yes, that's exciting. And listening to good music, not that stuff out there that the world pushes onto us. I was a disc jockey. I know how that... I try to brainwash you. I tried... with that music, and now they're succeeding. It's not good. It's not good to change our Messianic or Hebraic or Christian music into sounding the same as the world. Maybe there's some cases where, of course, we all use the same instruments, piano and so on, a violin or woman's voice or something. Beautiful piano. Woman's voice usually is pretty good. And keep our culture pure and separate and encouraging and uplifting. Listen to Bible Witness Web Radio from China. What a wonderful Bible Witness Web Radio. I know that we don't use the word Bible, we use Scripture. That's what that pastor does there. We use Fundamental Bible Fellow, Fundamental I don't know, something, Fellowship Radio. We use the all quartet radio, and much more. You could, you know, ask us for a list if you want it, and I'll tell you what my links are for some pretty good music. It's not the best. I'm never completely satisfied with all the classical and the whole gamut and library of music out there. I just am never really happy, and they say, well, you're supposed to compromise. But no, I think it should be good all the time. Symphonic, Baroque, most Baroque is good. But sometimes it just sounds like it's Baroque. Well, we're going to gather again here soon. This has been a real pleasure again. Thank you very much. I'd sure appreciate hearing from someone out there in more than negative email. The old crank letters and so on. I don't need those necessarily. I'd like to find out if you would like to continue what we're doing, or in a different format, or longer or shorter, or something, you know, at stephanyah@yahvehyahweh.name. Now, if you don't email me, I'll still try to find out how many people are out there listening some way or another. I broke through again on that on the internet and discovered about some hits, so that was good, getting about, oh, six a day or something there. I guess we'll try to go on YouTube someday, as the Russian Hebraic person there from Slava Assembly in Portland told me. So, yeah, we're going to try that, but right now we're busy with a wife. She's more important than even doing this. My wife is more important than this, in most instances anyway. We'll take, you know, get her main needs taken care of here, her nutrition and so on. And then other stuff comes later. So I think we're winding up now. Thanks for joining us. There we go. We're about 10 megs or so for the broadcast. Gotta pray for those folks. Pray for us. We pray for you. Pray that Yahweh would touch and bless you if you're there on your deathbed too, and you're saying, I'm just going to turn that music up a little louder, that Hebraic radio station, that website. I'm going to turn up my MP3 player and listen. I want to live. There's more to live for. It's not good enough to just live 60 years. I want to continue, yes, hallelujah, to live even more for Yahweh. I want to tell other people. I've had contact here and there with a couple of people and encourage them in Yahweh. I've talked to some heathen, and they were encouraged by my interest in the scriptures and in Yahweh's way of life. I just want to be around. I want to see the next Feast of Tabernacles in 2012. I want to be in New Jerusalem someday. I want to see Hezekiah's face again. I love to fellowship with people like that. I go to the feast there, and it's a dark tent, and then all of a sudden there's lots of light, and some man is in there speaking in a very soft, consoling tone, inspirational tone, and telling us just exactly what we need for that moment, and then finding out what we need. By inquiry, by asking us, and then we come up to the front of the tabernacle. They pray for us and interrogate us further if there's any other need there, maybe, and a thorough, all universal, caring ministry. Just, you know, try to answer every need if possible. It was neat to be out in the Waldo Hills. I enjoyed that, thinking of some of the old-timers back in the 1800s who lived in that territory. Thanks again now. We'll look forward to Yahweh coming back quickly and to redeeming our brothers and sisters who are passing away or who have passed away, who are struggling right now, just to touch them in some way, and maybe not answer the prayer in my way or your way, not necessarily, not to answer your prayer in exactly the way you want it to be. In every single thing, you ought to hear how I whine about things. Minuscule things around. Yeah, but why'd you allow that? You know, well, I confess that, that's doubt. That's a lack of faith. Just not mature enough. You know, sometimes I was brought up to believe that, it's just anything goes and anything is good, you know, and all that. But we look forward to a second coming. And getting together here again, brothers and sisters, in Yahusha HaMashiach. Praise Him. Bless you, Almighty Yahweh. Thank you for this opportunity, and shalom.